Blog Talk Radio.
Royalty. Power to the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Whooping sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Yeah. Say that you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Shalom, shalom. We are back. Welcome to Keeping It Royal Radio. Tonight is going to be a very special night. And if you are not in the room, then when you listen to this, you are going to be in for a treat. Tonight we're going to deal with the false prophet. And this is really dear to my heart because coming out of church and a very, very strong Baptist background, we are dealing with something that's very sensitive because everyone thinks they're right. But the carbon test is, or the acid test, as we call it in science, is the word. And so we're going to look through the word and see if these preachers are really true prophets or preachers or false prophets or preachers. So tonight we have Rabbi and my Mori, Marvin Davis, and he is going to be giving us the acid test on a prophet who is false or true. So tonight as you're listening, I always like to preface with, if you hear words such as Yahweh, Yahuwah, we're talking about who is commonly referred to as God in our English-speaking American and abroad Western cultures. If you hear us say Yahushua or Yeshua or Yahusha, we're talking about who is commonly referred to as Jesus. If you hear the term Ruach, we're talking about the Spirit. If you hear different names, we'll be sure to, you know, give clarification on those names. So don't be afraid if you hear stuff that's not you know, that you're not used to. Also, we have some music that plays in the show. This week, we're going to try out something a little different. So we're not going to play the whole song, but I'll give you enough so that you'll be able to download the artist and go check them out. All right, we're going to jump right in it. I'm going to have the Mori pray, and then we're going to get going.
Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless tonight as the message goes out worldwide, that your people, your family, those who have been called by you will be strengthened in this walk. In the precious name of Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to jump right in. I'm going to turn it over to the Mori. You'll hear my voice periodically, and we're going to get going.
All right, good evening. Shalom. Shalom to the 12 tribes. Worldwide, I always, based on scripture, want to make sure that as we send the gospel forward, it goes out first to the 12 tribes of Israel first, according to the scriptures. So to the tribe of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin, we salute you, my family, in the precious name of our Heavenly Father, Yahuwah. And to all others who have been adopted into this wonderful family called the Hebrew Israelite family, we welcome you in the room this evening. We have a very, very important and yet very sensitive topic. And I want to call it Proving the Preachers and Prophets. So again, we're going to be talking about proving the preachers and prophets. It is very vital in these last days, Zion, as we approach the culmination of our time here on planet Earth. Our Messiah said in no uncertain terms, in the last days, many false prophets shall arise. Let's immediately go there in the Holy Manuscript found in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4, Matthew 24. But we are instructed by the manuscript that as we are studying the Bible, or as we are growing, we ought to do so by studying the Bible. Yeah. Actually, why don't you do this? Start at verse 11, Matthew 24, 11.
And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many.
Stop right there. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. The very first thing I want you to see is that when we talk about false prophets, we're talking about a huge number of false prophets in comparison to those who are true prophets of the Most High Yah. Look at verse 24.
For there shall arise false Christ or Hamashiach and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
So here in our scriptures, our Hamashiach is warning us, first of all, that there are many false prophets, and we'll let the Bible define what a false prophet is, but he says there's false prophets, and they're going to arise, and then he says in verse 24, there will arise false messiahs and false prophets, and together they will be showing great signs and wonders, and so much as if it were possible, they would fool the very elect. So let me just, before we go to our next verse, let me just talk about that for a moment. For some reason, our Heavenly Father has chosen to use preachers and teachers to lead his people. In other words, he has not chosen every single child in the family to be a leader, preacher, teacher, but he has chosen certain people to be leaders of the children of Israel. And of course, we've already discovered that as the children of Israel go, so goes the world. The chosen people are the, how would I say it, Marika? I'm not going to say the most important, but when it comes to salvation, the world looks to Israel to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So therefore, to keep Israel straight, the Most High Yah sends them or gives them preachers and prophets who will teach and preach unto them the Torah. Now, we will discover that verse later when we get to Jeremiah. We have several verses in Jeremiah that we're going to cover.
While the rabbi is jotting down a note, I want to bring out verse 4. I know we kind of skipped over it, but Yeshua starts off that dialogue with the disciples, and he flat out says, take heed that no man deceive you. And the deception we know of in today's society is not coming from the word of Yah, but it's coming from the interpretation that people are, the liberties they are taking with interpreting the word of the Most High.
That's very good. Very good point. And why would there be an influx of the false in the last days? Because the aim or the goal of Satan is to really destroy the people of Yah. And what he does is he starts to send out these false preachers in huge numbers, and they seem to always show up right before the Most High executes judgment upon either the world or the people of Yah. And so I want to just kind of give you a word out of 1 John chapter 4, and let's begin reading at verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And it reads, beloved, believe not every spirit. Right off the top, he says, everyone who is up preaching, up teaching, don't believe it. In other words, try them, test them, but try the spirit, whether they are of Yahuwah. So here we are commanded in the Holy Manuscript that we are to test or to prove or to try every single thing we hear from anybody. It is a great responsibility that we have, that even tonight, as you hear me as a preacher and prophet of the last days, that whatever I say, you don't believe me. It's not about believing your more. It's about believing that the more is sharing what is written in the Holy Manuscript, the Torah. And therefore, this is what he says. The test that we use is whether they are of Yahweh. And how do we know if they are of Yahweh or Yahuwah? We know by studying and comparing what they say to the actual written word. Because many, there's the word again, it's in the Bible. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So we know again that it's not a few. It's not like one or two, but many. Later on, we will discuss a biblical example of the ratio between the Yahweh-called preachers and prophets versus either people who call themselves or the people who have been sent by Satan into the world in order to deceive the elect, the chosen of Yahuwah. So when we get back from this next break, we are going to look at some examples of people, masses of people, versus the few prophets of Yahweh.
Come insubordinate.
All right, we're back. That was Glory to the Lamb by Molly Music. It's one of my favorites. Also, I wanted to put the number out there for anybody that wanted to call in and ask a question. The number is area code 347-884-8624. So if you call in, I will add you in and let you ask your question. Just give me a second. All right, I think we have somebody in right now. I don't know if they want to ask a question, but I'm going to buzz them in. Hello? Shalom, shalom. All right. Well, I didn't get a question. I'm guessing they're just in there listening. All right. So if you just stay tuned, we're going to hop right back in where we left off.
All right. One of the, I'm just going to kind of jump right into it. One of the most sure signs that a man has not been sent by the Most High Yah to deliver his message is if that man does not preach against idolatry and false worship. That's one of the signs. As a matter of fact, anyone who denies Torah, you know, automatically is a false prophet, because the whole entire Bible is built on the Torah. So we know that one of the rules of Torah, one of the laws that come out of Torah, is there will be no divination, there will be no necromancy, there will be no fellowship with idols. Matter of fact, we were to destroy all idolatry out of the population of the children of Israel. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 13 says, if there arise among you, there, watch this, a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, now listen to this, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams. For Yahuwah, your Elohim, proveth you to know whether you love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart, and with all your soul, you shall walk after Yahuwah, your Elohim, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, is right in the Bible, because he has spoken to turn you away from Yahuwah, your Elohim, who brought you, or which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which Yahuwah, thy Elohim, commanded to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee.
Rabbi's going to stop there, but I just think for clarification, because I think we might touch on a couple of things that have to deal with this, if we have time to touch on these holidays, as we call them, or these unholy days that are coming up. A lot of them have to do with verse 6. It says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about ye, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thou I pity him, neither shalt thou spare neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all thine people.
So what we see here is a grave consequence that is connected to the children of Israel, of whom will come false prophets. Yahweh hates the false prophet and the false preacher so bad. I mean, he hates the sin of false prophets so bad that he connected to it the death penalty. So before we say it's not a big deal, it might not be a big deal to you. Before you say, oh, you're taking things overboard, it might not seem like it's a big deal to you. But we just read Torah. And in the Torah, there is a death penalty connected to teaching and preaching a false message, especially a message turning people to the worship and the satanic practices of idolatry.
Yes, we just got out of the, well, there's a lot of them, but one of the Gregorian / Roman influence holidays that just passed is Valentine's Day. And you see right here, the admonition is not just against friends, but it's also against the wife. Because a lot of these holidays, or helladays if you want to call them that, are stirred up by the emotion that's attached to the woman. A lot of these false prophets are stirred up by emotions that are attached to the women. We know a particular false prophet whose wife hands out Easter baskets to the children in church. And the same wife and others have encouraged people to take up the ministry of preaching and teaching who have not been called and who have shown evidence of false witness and a false spirit. So you can just see that even in here when it's talking about, you know, your sons or your daughters, those things that pull on your heartstrings, the only thing that should pull on our heartstrings are the word of the Most High.
Let's look again into the Holy Manuscript, Deuteronomy 18, beginning at verse 20.
And it reads, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods or other elves, even that prophet shall die."
Again, we see the Torah, which is the laws of the Most High, attaching the death penalty to preachers and prophets who are speaking in the name of other elves. Very, very important that we understand that. Because as we go through the manuscript in the remaining time that we have, we want to show you why a person taking this position of preacher prophet that have not been called is worthy of death. And I'll just tell you, just in case you don't stay with the broadcast, that person who takes that position is worthy of death because they are going to lead maybe hundreds or thousands of people into the judgment. And the judgment of the Most High Yah will be, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity," and the end result will be a burning hell. So anyone who is claiming to be a preacher or a prophet and is prophesying or preaching outside of the Bible, of the manuscript of Torah, the reason the death penalty is attached to that sin is because it causes so many other people to miss the salvation of Yeshua and to end up in a burning hell.
So I have a question. I know we're dealing with the false prophets, or I started dealing with the false prophets who are within other movements outside of the Hebrew movement. But what about the people who are crafty and cunning within this movement, who have set up, you know, camps and doctrines that are completely against Torah or have taken liberties with the word. What about those particular people? Where do they fall in?
The Most High Yah, based on scripture, many times does not kill the false prophet immediately. Every now and then he allows the false prophets and the false preachers to continue to live and preach the false doctrine in order to separate the true believers of the Most High Yah from those who are not true believers, those who are in the family from those who are just pretending to be in the family. So yes, even amongst those who have already recognized the fact that there is a lot of paganism, there's a lot of idolatry, many of the practices going on in our churches, we already know we can trace them back to pagan roots. There are people who've already recognized that and have come out of that madness. But even coming out of that and beginning to follow Torah, they will find that there are also false preachers and false prophets in claiming to teach Torah.
Because we see it in Scripture more times than we can probably even count, where HaSatan himself uses Scripture to deceive people. Or commandments. He used a commandment on Shavuot or Eve where he says, didn't the Most High, he didn't say you would die, right? And you can eat this. And he uses his exact words, but just like twist it a little bit. You won't surely die. And I can see that happening even amongst our calls out, where they're adding things or saying things or putting unnecessary, what we would call burdens on people, because of a twisted idea of what, you know, what Yah's word is saying.
As a matter of fact, why don't we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and why don't we just look at how the devil knows how to go after those who have been called. Because one of the things that we say, well, this person seems to be okay because they seem to be walking right. They appear to be righteous. Let's see what the manuscript says. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's begin at verse 1.
Would to Yah ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly or Elohim jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ or to HaMashiach. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Shavuot or Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Mashiach. For if he that cometh preacheth another Yehoshua, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another Ruach or Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of Yah freely.
Mm-hmm.
I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself.
So I just want to pause here to make a statement. Of all people, Rabbi Shaul is defending his call to be a preacher, a pastor, an apostle. Why does he have to defend his own call? Because he is being challenged by false preachers and false prophets. And as a matter of fact, people are starting to say, oh, well, he is one too. And he said, look, you can check my life. You can check the fact that I'm not taking advantage of people. I'm trying to help people. I'm staying true to the Most High Yah, and I'm teaching his word. And he says, as a matter of fact, you are witnesses that I have actually given up a lot so that I could continue to be a minister. So I want to just bring that point out, because it's very important that you see some characteristics of a true prophet. All right? Verse 11.
Wherefore, because I love you not, Yah knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we are. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Messiah.
Okay, so we see here that there are many people who will say bad things about the true prophet, but the true preacher prophet stands up and says, no, let's just be honest. There are many false, deceitful workers who transform themselves into the apostles of the HaMashiach. Wait, why is that important? Because it doesn't say that Yahweh is transforming them or making them. It's saying they are making themselves. Another sign of a false preacher, false prophet, is that that preacher calls himself. He does it himself. He's running from himself. He's doing it himself. He's changing and transforming himself into something that he's not. As a matter of fact, read verse 14.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Now, this is something that I really want to kind of drive home in this segment, and that is there are more preachers in the world than those who have been called by the Most High Yah. This verse tells us that Satan, yes, Satan, Hashatan, the devil, the old dragon, the serpent from the beginning, our enemy, calls preachers to preach. He calls teachers to teach. He calls people to prophesy. And believe this, his call is spiritual. I remember talking to a false preacher, by the way, and he said, this is what he told me, you cannot argue with what I experienced. That's what he told me. He said, because I know my call was spiritual. And my response to him was, I'm not doubting that your call was spiritual. I'm not doubting that you experienced something. What I'm saying is, what you're teaching and what you are preaching is not according to Torah. It's not according to the Bible. The spirit that called you is the spirit of the devil. Everyone who feels the spirit is not necessarily feeling the spirit of the Most High Yah. The spirit of the Most High Yah always agrees with Torah.
Before we go on a break, I wanted to bring out something. We just read over it, and it jumped out at me again. And it's chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, verse 2. And it's Rabbi Shaul, of course, talking. He said, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin unto Messiah. And so we get, obviously, this jealousy coming from Yah. And so the true preacher or prophet has to be jealous, or the term really means has to be like a brooding chick over the children of Elohim to not let anybody come in and bring them anything false, because you're presenting that bride to Messiah, so you are responsible for not letting her be spiritually and physically, but definitely spiritually, taken into adultery. You're accountable for that because You are supposed to be looking over her. And the reason why this is such a big deal, we're going to see it right here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Ghost, has made you overseers, to feed the church of Yah," it's Yah's church, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." And right there, we're going to take a quick break. Shalom.
Shalom, Yisrael. I would like to introduce you to HebrewMarketplace.com, a business directory for Hebrew Israelites across the globe. This is a platform for us to find and support each other in our endeavors. If you have a product or a service that you offer that you would like to present to your Hebrew family, I invite you to get listed at HebrewMarketplace.com. You can post your business information, pictures, and a video link in your listing. There's also a space to post your events here for free. Come by and visit the site often to see new listings and support our brothers and sisters in their endeavors. And remember to share this site and the listings that you find here with others. Shalom, Mishpacha.
Shalom. That was a ad for Hebrew Marketplace. If you haven't checked it out, it's a great resource for Hebrew Israelites who are trying to keep their money in the community. All right, and that song was called Hi by Javon Davis, Reverend Javon Davis. He is a teacher of Torah located in Fresno, California. And so you can find him on iTunes and on Facebook under Javon Davis. All right, we're going to get right back into it, and we're going to take it to the place of one of the greatest battles between the true and the false prophet on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Go ahead, Rabbi.
All right. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 26. Verse 17. We'll start there. And in this next segment, this is where I want to kind of focus on this particular chapter. So let me give you some background really quick. King Ahab married Jezebel. Jezebel's father was a high priest of Baal and Ashtaroth. Now, just because I don't have time to give you the history of those idol worshiping our idols, I just want to say this. Their festivals and their worship is seen even in this culture to this very day. Matter of fact, our word Easter comes from this particular pagan deity called Ashtaroth. And our celebration of what we call Christmas is really the celebration of Baal. And for those of you who are computer savvy, or you have resources or library, you can do a quick, what I like to say, third grade level research to find that what I'm saying is true. Doesn't take a great mastermind. So we know that the prophets of Baal, or I should say this, the false deity Baal, Ashtaroth, Dagon, and all these other idols have always plagued the children of Israel. Now, this wicked king Ahab, I was telling you about, he hated Elijah. And in verse 17, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Isn't that interesting? That the king is married to a woman who's an idol worshiper, and he, along with her, Jezebel, has led the whole entire nation into the worship of idols. And you have this particular prophet standing up to the king and standing up to the queen, telling them that what they're doing, bowing down to these idols and listening to these false prophets, is going to bring doom on the children of Israel. So because he began to preach that message, the whole world, well, all the way to the king, was calling him the troublemaker, because Elijah was telling him that what was going on was against Torah. And so all of you preachers and pastors out there who are standing on the truth, let me give you some encouragement. They're always going to label you and I troublemakers. As a matter of fact, I never shall forget, we just brought up the fact that the people of the manuscript are black people. They're from a region where the people there are all of color. And just by making a simple statement like that, people were saying, you're a troublemaker. Listen, we're not troublemakers. The true troublemaker is the one spreading the lies. Let's see if I'm telling the truth about that.
And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel?
Verse 18.
And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of Yahuwah, and thou hast followed Balaam.
All right, so quickly he says this. He says, I'm not the problem. You're the problem. I'm not the one following Baal. You are. I'm not the one breaking the laws of the Most High Yah. You are the people who are forsaking the commandments of the Most High Yah, which is Torah. All right, keep reading.
Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450.
Wait, how many prophets?
450.
So there's 450 prophets of Baal. All right.
And the prophets of the groves?
That's Ashtaroth.
400, which eat at Jezebel's table.
So we got 400 that are prophets of Ashtaroth that live in her house. You got 450 prophets of Baal. So let's just break it down. You got 400 preachers that are down with Easter. And you got 450 preachers who are pushing Christmas. And how many preachers do you have standing for the Torah in this instance? We got one. Now, we know Obadiah is another one. He's a contemporary. But, I mean, in this story, we see basically 850 to 1 or 850 to 2. I wanted to bring that out because one of the things that I tried to share with one of my real close friends, and he's a brother. As a matter of fact, I do believe in his work and his ministry. When I began to show him the importance of staying true to Torah, and keeping the commandments of the Most High Yah, you know his response was, this is what he said. He said, if what you're saying is right, then that means the overwhelming majority of us are wrong.
Yes.
Basically, that's what he said. He said, man, to believe that we should keep Torah and that we should teach people these these days, and we should teach people the dietary law based on the Bible, instead of leading them into swine and all this other stuff. He said, you are in the, this is what he said, overwhelming minority. He said, by the way, you're probably one of the only preachers I know that's teaching this. Now, here is why I bring this up. Because his rationale for right and wrong is based on the majority. It's based on the numbers and not based on Torah.
I don't know if anybody of you have Mama Cheryl. Her name is Cheryl Perry Lewis on Facebook. And the other day she posted that very thing. It had a church house that said, just because millions and millions of people believe that something is right doesn't make it right. It just means that you have millions and millions and millions of idiots.
So when we look at the Bible, and that's what we're doing, we see that the true prophet is outnumbered. And oftentimes he's outnumbered almost 1,000 to 1. And that's important to keep in mind, is that the Most High Yah oftentimes works with a very small number, a remnant, especially in the time when the nation has followed the practices of the heathens, which we find ourselves today. And so, yes, there's only going to be a few of the truly called pastors, true Yahweh called preachers and prophets, because the Old Testament definition for prophecy is not fortune telling. It is declaring forth the word of Torah. There's only a few. Now, I want to show you that as we continue. All right? Go ahead and let's read. It's interesting reading.
Verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Yahuwah be Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word.
Okay, all right, let's pause right there for a moment. I'm not going to keep stopping, but I want to show you who called the meeting. It was not Elijah that called the meeting. It was Ahab. See, Ahab thought because he was in the majority that there would be like an overwhelming victory and an opportunity to put this preacher to shame. Like, okay, now I got all my preachers. I got 850. You know, some of them are Ashtaroth, some of them are Baal. But you know, Ashtaroth is actually the female counterpart to Baal. So we don't have time for that tonight, but it's just the truth. He's like, they're so overwhelming, the numbers, they overwhelm to such a high level, this is going to be an easy showdown. Now, here's what I wish would happen, Marika. This is something I've been praying for. How come no preacher, pastor, leader, we can't get an association, we cannot get a state convention, we cannot get a national conference to come together, at least Ahab. I don't give him hardly no credit for nothing, but at least he did call the meeting. At least he called the meeting. He said, okay, look, we've got 450 folks saying Christmas is cool. We got 400 folks saying Easter's cool. And we got one little prophet talking about we shouldn't do it. And what we need to do is call the meeting. And let's search Torah. Let's find out who's right and who's ever right. Then let's put our own personal opinion to the side and let's follow whoever Yahuwah, whoever is the true preachers and prophets. Let's go the way of the manuscript. All right? So now watch this.
Then
go to 21 again.
Oh. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If Yahuwah be Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.
There it is.
And the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of Yahuwah. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it into pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your El, and I will call on the name of Yahuwah. And the El that answered by fire, let him be El. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of Yahuwah that was broken down.
Okay, now, I just want to pause to prove that Yah is Yah and that Baal should not be followed. They set up an offering. It's right in the Bible. And those men were preaching and teaching what they have been teaching and preaching the people about the power of Yah, power of Baal, and of Ashtaroth and all of that. And the Bible says that no fire ever fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifices. All right, so now we get to the second part of the showdown. Go ahead.
And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob.
Now, why did he do that? That's the 12 tribes of Israel, you Hebrews.
Unto whom the word of Yahuwah came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Yahuwah, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Yahuwah Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, let it be known this day that thou art Elohim in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Yahuwah, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Elohim, and that thou hast turned their heart back again.
All right, so after he builds the fire and soaks it with water, and he actually follows Torah according to the burnt offering and the evening sacrifice, so he says, you all did your thing breaking Torah because you're not supposed to cut yourself and you're not supposed to mar yourself and all that. They did all of that. Now, we're talking about the prophets of Baal who were prophesying to the children of Israel saying that all these things were okay. Now, remember what I told you earlier about the penalty for false prophets. Keep that in the back of your mind. All right, so then when we get here, he speaks in the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, let it be known today. This is a showdown. And after today, we're going to know whether we ought to be following after Baal and Astra, whether we should be still doing Christmas and Easter and all these other pagan days, or should we continue just to follow Torah according to the Holy Manuscript. All right, keep going.
Then the fire of Yahuwah fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Yahuwah is the Elohim. Yahuwah, he is the Elohim. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape, and they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there.
Okay, so really what I want you to see here is when the showdown happened and Yah showed up, you could see the fire of judgment. That's the key. And the fire of judgment is so hot, it consumed the burnt offering, the burnt sacrifice, consumed the wood. We know fire consumes wood. But watch this. It consumed the stones. Now, you know that has to be a hot fire to consume the stone. And then, you know, the ashes, the dust that was left, it consumed the ashes. And then the fire licked up the water that was in the trench. The idea is this, or the truth is this, that our Heavenly Father, Yahuwah, is a consuming fire. Therefore, he exercises judgment right then and there. And you know what happened? Remember I told you about the preacher, how important he is? In one day, there was a revival, and the people made a decision to follow Yah. See, if we would just allow the truth to be told and to come out, if the preachers and the prophets would just start teaching the truth, the people of Yah would be delivered overnight. I'm telling you. It is the preachers and the prophets that are keeping our people in idolatry. All right, and so the Bible says, once they found that out, Elijah said, take the prophets of Baal. Don't let none escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook and slew them. The reason that these men were killed, because that word slew means they were killed, was because the command given in Torah. All right. I know that's heavy, you know, but it's the truth.
Rabbi just brought out a really good point. He said that as soon as the preacher or the teacher or whoever is sharing the word of Yah shares this word, that the people immediately turn. So before we go on a break, I'm going to read out of the book of Judges. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. It Judges chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 12. And it says, at 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahuwah and served Balaam. And they forsook Yahuwah, the Elohim of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other elves of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked Yahuwah to anger. And they forsook Yahuwah and served Balaam and Ashtaroth. And the anger of Yahuwah was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Now, this is the point I want to bring out, and it's in verse 16. It says, nevertheless, Yahuwah raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other Elohims, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of Yahuwah, but they did not do so. And when Yahuwah raised them up judges, then Yahuwah was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented Yahuwah because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers and following other gods to serve them. So we see that as long as people are speaking the truth, the people are safe because the word of Yah is upon them. But as soon as the true judge or the true prophet or the true teacher or preacher stops telling the truth, the people quickly turn back to their wicked ways. We'll be back in just a second.
Galatians 3:16 reads, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seed, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Messiah. And this I say, that the Torah, which was given 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by Yahuwah, that it should make the promise of no effect. Paul is simply saying that in all of mankind since Adam, only one person has qualified to receive the inheritance of all the promises that were made to Abraham, Yeshua the Messiah. He is that seed, because only Yeshua was found to be perfect, because he met every condition of the covenant. So he then became the inheritor of eternal life. And this is why the grave could not legally hold him. This shows the importance of keeping the Torah, and why Yeshua said that not one jot or tittle of the Torah would pass away until all is fulfilled in Matthew 5:18. Galatians 3:29 states, "If you belong to Messiah, then you are Abraham's seed and joint heirs according to the promise." Paul continues to explain that the Abrahamic covenant promises cannot be annulled through the Torah, for Torah simply defines what sin is for all eternity, and no covenant made with man will ever do away with Father's Torah. If you do away with Father's Torah, you do away with him, for he lives according to his Torah, which describes him. And according to Jeremiah 1:12, he watches over his word to perform it. Even the Mosaic covenant principles in Torah regarding sacrifices are still significant under the new covenant, because our bodies become the reasonable sacrifice, according to Romans 12. Yeshua requires our fleshly nature to be sacrificed so that he can write his Torah on our heart, so that we will not sin, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. Paul states in Colossians 3:5, to put to death the lust of our earthly nature, and Torah is our instructions on how to do just that and become set apart and return to Father. I'm Bill Sanford with the Torah Thought for the day.
Because I saw that there was an echo. Thank you, Mama Cheryl, for that. I think the mic was left on. So we are going to jump back right where we left off and start back talking about the false prophets and false teachers. Rabbi has the mic.
Proving the preachers and prophets is what our topic has been for tonight. It's been a great joy to be in the room, but it is a great burden to have to declare this message, but it's a message that needs to be told. I want Marika, if she would, to find Jeremiah chapter 3, and we will look at verse 11, and we will read from verse 11 to verse 15, because there's something here that, actually we'll read a little bit further. So So I'll start. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 11. And Yahuwah said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Yehuda. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith Yahuwah, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith Yahuwah, and will not keep anger forever. So that has been his message through the preachers and prophets to return to him, which is to return to Torah, return to our Most High Yah. Only acknowledge thy iniquity, that means confess your sins, and that thou hast transgressed against Yahuwah thy Elohim, that means you have broken the commandment, and have scattered thy ways to strangers, that means you have done things with these idols under every green tree, and have committed and have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahuwah. Turn, O backsliding children, saith Yahuwah, for I am married to you, and I will make, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors after mine heart, according to mine heart, which will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith Yahuwah, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of Yahuwah. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. And verse 17 tells us why. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Most High, and all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of Yahuwah, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their heart. And it goes on. But this is what I want you to see here, that he's saying the children of Israel are in a bad situation. But if they would return to me, then I won't be angry. I will receive them back, and I will make them prosperous. And one of the gifts that I will give them is I will give them pastors that are after my heart, according to me, that will teach the whole entire Bible, that will feed them. And once they are fed, the word will be in their heart. Later it says that the promise, that it will be written on their hearts, because there will come a time they won't be around the actual Ark of the Covenant. They'll have the pastors who will have taught them the whole Torah. Okay? Now, flip over to Jeremiah chapter 23. I want you to see why it's so important that we prove the preachers and prophets. It's important because once the people believe that you have been sent by the Most High, they will follow you. Therefore, if the pastors start going bad, I'm telling you, if they stop teaching Torah and they start living lawless, then the people will also begin to live lawless, and then the judgment of the Most High shall fall. Now, I'm going to let Marika read, because it's a long passage, but I really think that this chapter will sum up what we're saying. And after this, after she reads the chapter, I believe we're going to be going into a break. So, Marika.
Jeremiah chapter 23. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastures, saith Yahuwah. Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah Elohim of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith Yahuwah. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith Yahuwah.
That's this new breed of preachers that he's calling to turn the people back to Torah. Okay, keep going.
Behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth.
Yahushua our HaMashiach is the promised righteous branch that will be raised up unto the throne of David. All right. Come on. Verse 6.
In his days, Yehuda shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called Yahuwah, our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah, that they shall no more say, Yahuwah liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But Yahuwah liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. My heart within me is broken because of the prophet. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of Yahuwah and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith Yahuwah. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith Yahuwah. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, a horrible thing they committed adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitation thereof as Gomorrah.
Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them to drink the waters of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem its profaneness is gone forth into the land. Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, hearken unto me the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of Yahuwah. They say still unto them that despise me, Yahuwah hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Doesn't that sound just like the quote-unquote preachers and prophets of today? That everything is going to be all right, and nothing's going to happen. Just keep on living according to your own. Just keep doing Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving and Mother's Day and blah, 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 blah. For who has stood in the counsel of Yahuwah and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of Yahuwah is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of Yahuwah shall not return until he has executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly. That's our days, by the way. I have not sent these prophets. I have not sent these men. See, that's the key. That's what Jeremiah, I'm trying to help you see what Jeremiah was trying to tell the people from the mouth of the Most High Yah. He said, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. You understand that? They didn't come from the Torah. They didn't come from the, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But they have stood in my, but if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. He said, any preacher preaching from me is turning the people away from the evil ways of Baal and Ashtaroth and turning them to Torah. We have to be careful, Zion, that we don't read over these passages and take them lightly. Verse 23, am I most high in hand, saith Yahuwah, and not a most high afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith Yahuwah, do not I fill the heavens and earth? Saith Yahuwah, I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Don't you hear that now? Oh, I had a dream, I have a dream. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. For think to cause my people to forget, to forget my name in their dream, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forsaken my name for Baal. Now, that's another sermon. But when you discover, Zion, that the actual word Lord is Baal, and how the people have substituted the word Lord for Yahuwah, you will see that it was done on purpose by these idol-worshipping people. Pick it up right there.
The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith Yahuwah? Is not my word like as fire, saith Yahuwah, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith Yahuwah, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith Yahuwah, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith Yahuwah, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith Yahuwah. And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of Yahuwah? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith Yahuwah. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden is of Yahuwah, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say, every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath Yahuwah answered? And what hath Yahuwah spoken? And the burden of Yahuwah shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living Elohim, of Yahuwah of hosts, our Elohim. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath Yahuwah answered thee? And what hath Yahuwah spoken? But since ye say the burden of Yahuwah, therefore thus saith Yahuwah, because ye say this word, the burden of Yahuwah, and I have sent unto you, saying, you shall not say the burden of Yahuwah. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten.
He said, you're leaving the land, that's for sure, and you're going to be an everlasting reproach. And we still are to this very day, and a perpetual shame to this very day. Here is how this passage ends. He says, these prophets keep talking about what they dream and what they think, and they keep telling the people what they dream and what they dream. He says, and I haven't told them anything, but they keep talking about I'm talking to them, and I'm not talking to them. He says, so when the day comes, when they need me to say something, he says, I'm not going to talk because I've already written my word down. So what's going to end up happening? Everybody is going to just start making up stuff. Just like what's going on with the false preachers and prophets today. They're just making up stuff. And you say, where did you get that from? And they say, came to me in a dream. Man, where'd you get that from? It just came to my mind. Going to be a tragic end, he says, to the false prophet. And I wanted you to see it for yourself. Wanted you to see for yourself that our Heavenly Father does not take lightly a person prophesying in his name who is not prophesying according to his word. I'll put it like this. He doesn't take lightly folks just calling themselves preachers who have not been called to preach because they're not preaching according to his word. Or pastor. Give me two verses and then I'm out. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. And it says, I know thy work and thy labor and thy patience and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. Same word. Apostle, preacher, prophets, all the same. And are not. And have done what? Found them liars. How did you find them liars? You proved them. You tested them. You listened to what they said. You wrote it down. You did research. And at the end of your research, you said, he's lying. Revelation 19, verse 20. And as we turn to that passage, I want to say, I know this was tight tonight. I know it was a rough lesson. But these kind of lessons, Zion, need to go forth in these last days. Hopefully somebody will turn around and get out of Babylon before it's everlasting too late. Revelation 19, verse 20. Matter of fact, I better read verse 19. And I saw the beast, right in the Bible. And the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken. Do you see that? And with him the false prophet that worked miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Verse 21, and the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Not only the deceiver, but also the deceived will be in trouble of the judgment when our HaMashiach, Yahushua HaMashiach, when he comes back, it's not just the deceiver, it's also the deceived. That's why it's important tonight, children of Zion, that we try all the spirit, make sure that we prove the preachers, the prophets, and pastors. Shalom.
Wow. That was a dynamic word from the Moray. Before we sign off, I want to give you guys just a little nugget to take with you. When we were reading through Jeremiah, it said that how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? And he says, I have heard what the prophet saith, and they prophesy lies in my name, saying that I have dreamed a dream. He says, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor. What we're getting in our churches, and often in a lot of these Hebrew camps, are regurgitations of what somebody has told somebody. And nobody is proving it according to Scripture. You have people saying things and talking to you with the words of someone else. I remember being in the Christian church and saying, well, that's what my pastor preached last week, and never having my rebuttal or my refute be based upon Scripture. And a lot of these pastors and preachers are repeating and regurgitating the words of preachers who have been given their message by most of the time Anglo-Saxon men during slavery. They're teaching and preaching a slave message. And it's a message that is contrary to Torah because Torah was taken from us. We have to find the word in Scripture. So we're going to sign off with that. I'm going to end you with our closing song, and I want you to be back next week. We have a sister by the name of Leah, and she's going to be sharing a word with us. So stay tuned. If you haven't already checked me out on Facebook, it's Marika Davis. I've been posting stuff that might help you, that you might be able to share with someone else. And remember to keep it royal. Shalom, shalom.
When Yahshua was in Mitzrayim's land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard that they could not stand, let my people go. Go down, Masha, way down in Mitzrayim's land. Hello, Pharaoh, to let my people go. Oh, let us all from bondage flee, let my people go, and let us soul in Mashiach be free, let my people go. Go down, Mashiach, way down in Mitzrayim's land, tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. You need not always weep and mourn, let my people go, and wear those slavery chains forlorn, let my people go. Go down, Masha, way down in Mitzrayim's land, hello Pharaoh, to let my people go. Your